Perek Yedalet and Zechariah is the only Perek, he's the only Navi that actually describes to us the third battle of Gog and Magog. You will notice that he does not mention the word Gog or Magog at all. It's only Yechezkel who brings that expression to our understanding. But he does talk about this final battle. It's the third one. He's the only one that describes it. We will probably not see today why this is the Haftarah of Sukkot, of the first day of Sukkot. We probably will not see the reference today, but we will get to it, I promise, because it does mention Chag HaSukkot in a very, very interesting way. It actually focuses on Chag HaSukkot. I better give you just this much, because we won't be able to get to it. It focuses on Sukkot being a holiday at the end of time for all human beings. Everybody, all the nations, will come to Yerushalayim b'Chag HaSukkot. The Tzada, exactly, and why? And why the
70
korbanot
can go down?
Yeah, and why the korbanot, and also why the what do they call them, the Christians that?
Evangelicals.
The evangelicals come here because Zechariah is the one that tells us that all of the nations are going to come to Yerushalayim on Chag HaSukkot. And the nations that don't come to Yerushalayim on Chag HaSukkot, Zechariah says, will not get rain. They will not get enough rain. And so we got a very unusual rain last week, absolutely. At any rate, there's a long way till we get to that. Not a very long way, but in Zechariah even, 20 psukim is a long way. In Zechariah, you know that we've had trouble going through it. So let's go to Zechariah, the very beginning of Perek Yedalet. We have been talking about certainly the first battle of Gog Magog. And there have been hints, unclear hints, about the second battle, because it never says openly that there is a Mashiach ben Yosef, and it never seems to indicate that it's the second battle that we're talking about when Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed, unless we're Zocher. And the fact that everybody will mourn, including Beit David, because remember, he's not the Mashiach that comes from Beit David, he's Mashiach ben Yosef, but everybody will mourn because Am Yisrael will recognize that they were part and parcel of the cause of his being killed. It wasn't just the enemies that gathered on Yerushalayim, but Am Yisrael's actions have also caused that unfortunate end. But now, Perek Yedalet, Hinei Yom Baal Hashem. This is what you're going to hear in Shul on the first day of Sukkot. Hinei, behold, a day is coming, ba, right, present. A day is coming, Lashem, v'chulak shlalech b'kirbech, and your booty will be divided in your midst. And there's a little bit of a discussion between all the Mefarshim as to what booty are we talking about. Hinei Yom Baal Hashem, and we could take it as a simple statement that the Navi is making, that the battle that has not yet taken place within the walls of Yerushalayim as well, as yet, for this battle, the third war of Gog and Magog, they are going to come into the gates of Yerushalayim, and they might begin despoiling v'chulak shlalech. They might begin, the enemy might do enough damage to begin l'chalek, to begin distributing the spoils of the people of Yerushalayim. The other opinion is, Hinei Yomba, and that is going to end, that day will end with you beginning to divide the shalal of your enemies. And both, in other words, that it will come to the point where even though it'll be difficult at the beginning, it will be a happy ending. And the happy ending is that you will divide the spoils of the enemy. So what's interesting, Rashi is the one who is a very positive. He says, V'chulak, Hinei Yom, I have to read the whole Rashi. Hinei Yom Chaviv LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi says. Precious and important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chulak Shlalech Bekirbech, your spoils will be divided in your midst. Shlal Shetishlali Meha'oivim. That's Rashi's point of view. The shalal that you will take, the booty that you will take from the enemies, yichalku yoshvecha or yoshvech bekirbech. Your dwellers will divide in your midst. V'chein tergem Yonatan. And Rashi is taking it from Yonatan. However, I just want to show you the Malbim says, Hine, Ato yisaper, Eich yavo gog umagog bapam ha'achron al Yerushalayim. The Malbim says, now he's going to tell us how gog umagog are going to come the last time, the third on Yerushalayim. She'oz yagiya ad Yerushalayim atzma. That at that time the battle will reach Yerushalayim itself. Uvachol pa'amim harishonim lo yiga b'Yerushalayim. And in the other times, the first times, it's not going to get to Yerushalayim, kamo shekatuv b'Yechezkel, as we learn in Yechezkel, perek lamed hey, v'zeh shenemar sheyavo yom hamiyuchad l'Hashem, and it will still come that day, that's what we're talking about here, v'oz, Yichalek shlalech bekirbeich, says the Malbim, ki kvar yatchil lishlol shalal v'lavuz baz b'Yerushalayim. That the enemy will get to the point where they are already dividing up the spoils. There's a difference between shalal and buz. I think shalal is what's just left out, and buz, what is not left out, but you take by force. Yerushalayim atzma. The enemy will get into Yerushalayim itself, and they are going to begin being very successful and taking spoils. Umefaresh eich ze yihyeh. Because what Rashi is doing is Rashi is taking the long-term look. He's saying he's looking at the end. He's looking at the end results. The end result will be, remember last, was it last week, the last time we learned? No. Last week was Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks ago. Okay, we're trying this time of year. It's very hard to get it straight. 2 weeks ago. What we learned was that there was going to be, the language of the Navi was a cleansing of the people of Yerushalayim. Remember the way you tzoref silver, the way you bring silver to a very high heat so that the pure silver and the dross are separated. So in other words, Rashi is looking ahead of the whole thing. There's going to be this terrible battle, but ladies and gentlemen, at the end result of that battle is going to be that you are going to be despoiling those enemies who have been able to get into Yerushalayim. We will see, because there is a description of the step by step. So what Rashi is saying, it's a koteret. It's like a headline. It's like the headlines of the newspaper. Pasuk Aleph is a koteret, it's a headline. You eventually will be able to despoil those enemies that will come into Yerushalayim. Malbim is saying that it's not, it's an introductory sentence. Hinei yom ba'al Hashem, And on that terrible day, there's going to be, it's going to be awful, because there will be fighting and you will be despoiled. Yerushalayim will suffer at that time. Now that I answered that, let's go back to Estelle. Good morning.
Our opposite.
If we look at some of the other Mefarshim, for instance, Radak agrees here with Malbim, which is unusual because most of the time he doesn't. But at any rate, there are those two basic opinions. They both will come to the same end. Pasuk bet. Va'asafti et kol hagoyim el Yerushalayim. I'm going to gather all of the nations to Yerushalayim la'milchama, for that war. Notice it says la'milchama, to that war, specific war. V'nil kedah ha'ir. And the city is going to be captured. The city will fall to the enemy. V'nashasu ha'batim. The houses will be destroyed and trampled. V'hanashim tisha kavna. And women will be raped all over the city. And half of the city will go out into exile. But the rest of the nation will not be destroyed. So in other words, he's saying it's going to be terrible. Notice he's going very quickly over what's going to happen. It's going to be terrible. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be trampling all over the city. And half of the people will go out to exile, but the other half will not. Will not. So it's very interesting. There's a very interesting comment of Rashi here. I found myself looking at Rashi a lot more than I normally, I just let my eye sort of slip over the Rashi. But here I was really looking at it because there were some important things. He says, V'yeter ha'am lo yikaret. Right, the end of the pasuk Rashi's looking at. Again, he's doing that far, the distant view. He's doing the distant, he stays with the distant view. And so he says, half of the nation is going to go out into exile, but the rest of the nation will not. Lo yiglu kulam. Not all of them will go into exile. V'lama yanicham lahaglot chetziyam v'lishisot habatim. Why will HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow the enemy to get into the city and to exile half of them and to trample over the houses? In other words, why does that have to happen, Rashi is saying. Kidei shelo yehei lohem pitchon peh lomar, so that the nations that come to Yerushalayim to start the war should not have a pitchon peh, is like an excuse, right? An ability to open their mouths and say, lo lemilchama banu, we didn't come to make war, Ribbono shel Olam, why did you destroy us right away? Ki im lehishtachavot banu. We wanted to pray in your holy place. In other words, let them show that the purpose of this gathering was for a serious, cataclysmic, end of the world war, is what Rashi says. It's a very interesting point of view. And the Malbim says, V'yasafti, the Malbim goes to his historical background way of dealing with it. And he says, Hashem yitain belev hagoyim. Hashem will put in the hearts of the nations, sheyitasfu el Yerushalayim lemilchama, that they should gather to Yerushalayim for war. Ukvar hitba'er yechezkel lamed bet, V'siman lamed chet. And it's already explained in these two prakim in Yechezkel, sheba'acharit hayamim, that at the end of days, yitasfu bnei Edom, I'm just reviewing so that we know where we are. Bnei Edom will gather, Lokachat et Yerushalayim miyad hayishma'elim. To take Yerushalayim from the hands of the descendants of Yishmael. Va'oz tilakat ha'ir. And at that time, meaning the third battle, the city will fall. V'nashasu habatim. And the houses will be trampled, destroyed and trampled. V'chatzi ha'am kvar yetzu lagola. And half of the nation will go out to exile. Avalo yaspiku ligmor hadavar. But they will not be able to finish the idea. Ula haglot et kulam. And to exile all of them. V'lo yikarek yeter ha'am min ha'ir. And the rest of the nation will not be cut off, destroyed in the city. And this is because, and the Malbim says we have to go look at the next sentence. V'yatsa Hashem, that's why. Because Hashem will go out, v'nilcham b'goyim ahem. And he, Hashem himself, will go out and fight with those nations. Ki yom hi lachamo biyom krav. Like the day that he fought and a day of battle. It's interesting, that expression, like the day he fought on the day of battle. Another time. Very, very interestingly, Rashi says, Rashi takes the Targum Yonatan again, and he says, Kiyom Agchute Krav, the day that there was a battle, Al Yamsuf. So Rashi says he is going to fight like he did on Yamsuf. What does that mean? Remember? I want you to tell me something specific. I want you to. Where Hashem yilochem v'atem tacharishun, exactly. In other words, biyom krav. So according to Rashi, what it's saying is v'yotza Hashem, right? It is emphasizing Hashem will go out and he's going to take over. Like he took over at Yamsuf, where it was totally a miraculous battle where HaKadosh Baruch Hu fought. In other words, the Yom Krav is like referring to a specific time. According to Rashi, Yom Krav is Kriyat Yamsuf, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself took over and fought for us. Right? At any rate, Yom Krav, the Malbim has a different point of view. So Rashi says Yom Krav is Kriyat Yamsuf, right? When we say Yom Krav, when is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself stepped in? It was at Yamsuf. Malbim says, V'yatsa Hashem v'nilcham b'goyim ha'elem u'kvar hitba'er b'yecheskel. It's already explained in Yecheskel. Shehashem yishlach mehuma b'en shnei halochamim v'yahargu ish et achiv. That's what Yechezkel says about the other two battles, that they're going to get confused and they're going to fight each other. And that confusion will be strictly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. V'yidme bazeh ki yom hi lachamo b'yom krav. V'yidme bazeh, and he's describing it, Kiyom hilachamo biyom krav, she sent me a message. As the day that he fought biyom krav, listen to what Malbim does. It's very interesting. Kiyesh hevdel ben krav uben milchama. Typical, right? Typical Malbim. Malbim is saying there's a reason that he's saying yom krav, not milchama. Rashi says yom krav is specific. And he's saying, no, wait. There are two words for battle, krav and milchama. Shekrav hu lochem im oivo bikarov Umitavek imo, like we say, Krav Maga. Right? Krav, you are fighting personally with somebody. You are close and you are actually physically fighting with that person. And when we use the word milchama, it could also be something that's at a distance. Al yidei chitzim, like arrows, va'avanim, and stones, meaning like a slingshot or the big thing, a cannon, right? V'chulu, v'chadomeh, v'ratzo lomar, and what the Navi is saying, shelo yilachem imam birachok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this point is not going to fight a war from a distance. Al yidei sib'ot tiviot, and make it seem like a natural war is being waged. Rak mi karov, but it will be close, below emtza'i, with no middle person. In other words, nothing. Hashem himself is coming down and fighting a krav. He is fighting himself. Bekoach Eloha nisi, with a miraculous koach of Hashem. So the Malbim is saying it's going to be a Yom Krav because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be very personally and intimately involved in this battle. Okay, it's going to get complicated now. Deep breath. Va'amdu raglav, this is when the war part is over. Va'amdu raglav bayom hachu al har hazeitim. And his feet will stand on that day, on har hazeitim, asher al pnei Yerushalayim mikedem, that's on the eastern side of Yerushalayim, v'nivka har hazeitim, and har hazeitim will split mechetzio mizracha v'yama. It's going to split east-west, in the middle, chetzio v'chetzi, yama mizracha, Gei gedola ma'od, and it's going to leave a very great valley in the middle. Think about it. Think about the map. Umash chatzi ha'ir tzafona, and half of the city will therefore move north. V'chetzio negba, and the other half will move south. Yechezkel does describe this. Har HaZeitim splitting and leaving a great valley. It's very interesting that Rashi is concerned about his legs. No, it's not Rashi. Who is it? It's not Rashi that is concerned about, what does it mean when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's legs? Raglav, he says, hold on, v'amdu raglav az yiyeh ra'ash. No, he doesn't say, he does say it. Okay, Malbim. He starts by saying, V'amdu raglav, his feet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's feet, kiviyachol, are going to stand on Har HaZeitim. V'oz yiyeh ra'ash ha'aretz. What's a ra'ash?
An earthquake.
An earthquake. And there is going to be a great earthquake. Umitzayer, and he's describing. Not yet. Listen, a great earthquake. Umitzayer, and how is he describing the earthquake? Ki'ilu raglei Hashem, as though the feet of Hashem are standing on Har HaZeitim. Ratzo lomar, but what it really means is misovivav, those who surround him. So it's as though Hashem is coming down with his pamalia, right? With his angels, with his entourage. That's a good word. Shezeh geder regel baruchanim. When we talk about spirituality and we say, think about it, your followers, regel, holchei regel, you go after somebody's feet. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the regel, it means he and his angelic entourage are going to come down on Harazetim. Shehub Mizrachi Yerushalayim. We know that. That's on the east side of Yerushalayim. V'har HaZeitim Yibaka Be'emtza'o. And Har HaZeitim is going to split right in the middle, east-west. Ratzolomar Shetiyeh HaBik'a Nimshechet Mimizrach L'ma'arav. That means that the Bika that's left, right? The rift valley that will be left is going to go east-west. Va'al Yedeze, and that's how the city, we don't even have to go to this. I'm not gonna skip. Can't. Okay. Yamush Ahar Mimkomo. And because of this split, the mountain, what we know of as Harazetim, is going to move from its place. Wait, that's why I said I can't skip. I was going to skip, but then I said, no, I can't. Chesyo l'tzad safon v'chesyo l'tzad darom, uvein shnei chesyo, right? And between these two halves, woo, Hahar Yisha'er Gai Gadola Ma'od, it will remain as a great big valley. The Im Ha'inyan Hu Kipshuto, and if we look at it according to the Pshat, according to what it really means, Yehiyeze Mita'ched Al Masheher Ula Yechezkel, it's going to be very similar to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Yechezkel in Perek Memchet, She Yerushalayim Shel Atid Tihiye Rechoka Memkom HaMikdash Mem He Mil. That valley is going to be the place of the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, the place of Har HaBayit will remain where it is, but Yerushalayim qua city is going to be mem hay 45 mil. A mil is not a mile. It's like about two-thirds of a mile, roughly. Like a kilometer. Let me take a drink. I'm not coughing, you notice, but I'm hoarse. I'm not. Poo. Okay. At any rate, so Yerushalayim will be huge. And the place that people live will be, in other words, the sanctuary, the whole area of the sanctuary is going to take up most of the place that we think of as Yerushalayim today. Just the holy place. Kasher kvar nebu'u nevi'im acherim. And because other nevi'im already gave, like Yoel, share Yerushalayim teshev b'mkoma, but they told us that Yerushalayim will stay in its place. Be'er nevienu, our Navi, meaning Zechariah, the Navi we're learning right now, is explaining, sheze yihye al yidei shahar hazeitim, shehu b'Yerushalayim ya'atek m'mkomo. That it's not that Yerushalayim is going to be moved. It will remain in its place. Tzion will remain in its place, will be where we are today. And the city of Yerushalayim is going to be made greater because Har HaZeitim will be moved from its place. It's going to be split and it's going to be pushed, well, this way. It's going to be split east-west and then the city will go north-south. Okay, anyway, it's mentioning the whole, that's how many miles the actual sanctuary is going to be. V'alav tivneh v'titkonen Yerushalayim shela'atid shera'o yechezkel. And then in this valley, we're talking about because it's going to, Har HaZeitim is going to split and move. In this valley, Yerushalayim of the future, meaning Tzion, the Tzion part of Yerushalayim, will be rebuilt, as Yechezkel described to us, all of those incredible nevuot at the end of Yechezkel, where he describes a huge Beit HaMikdash, where he describes huge areas and some other things that we will remember when we come to the next Pesukim. So there's something really interesting in the next Pasuk. The next Pasuk really puzzled me greatly. So we understand, right, the mountain's going to split. This we got so far. Pasuk Hey, V'nastem gei harai. V'nastem, you will flee. Remember, there's an earthquake going on that's going to split Har HaZeitim. And when that earthquake is going on, an earthquake is very scary. You'll flee, gei harai. You'll flee to the mountain. You'll flee to the valley between those mountains. Ki yagia gei harim el otzal. Because that valley that's between the mountains will come to a place called Otzal, which is far south. V'nastem kasher nastem mipnei hara'ash bimei Uziyahu melech Yehuda. And you will flee just like you fled. Notice the three times it says nastem. You will flee just like you fled mipnei hara'ash because of the earthquake that took place in the days of Uziyahu melech Yehuda. Uvo Hashem Elokai Elohei kol kedoshim imach. And Hashem will come with all his kedoshim. Okay, again, what is going on in this pasuk? It is really very strange. And I'm going to make it even stranger. So first, excuse me. Yeah. I know, but it's really not. It's not. It's here. I don't think it is any reference now to Tchiyat HaMetim itself. But now, since you mentioned it twice, it's bothering me. That maybe I didn't completely catch something. So let me take it. But here is, people are alive. In other words, V'nastem, let's try to understand on a simple level. You're going to run away because this earthquake is happening and the mountains are moving. There's going to be terror. You're going to flee the way you fled at another time of terror. There was a terrible earthquake in the time of Uziyahu. We have to talk about that as well, right? And but nevertheless, you're going to be saved. Notice it doesn't say anything about Meitim. You're going to be saved because Hashem is going to come. He's going to appear with all of his kedoshim. Now, I want you to know that there was an interesting beginning to the Malbim that I couldn't understand, where the Malbim says, and the Minchat Shai agrees with him, the Minchat Shai is a Perush that only talks about how the Navi is written. In other words, the method that it's written, are there Ketiv and Kri? If there's a Ketiv and a Kri, he will always comment. And sometimes there won't even be a Ketiv and a Kri that we have in our Masoret, but he'll tell us that there were manuscripts found with a different word or a different pronunciation. In other words, a Minchat Shai, which I'm sorry to tell you that I didn't look up to see who he is, and I know somebody who really did a PhD thesis on the Minchat Shai. But the Minchat Shai will tell us. So here, the Minchat Shai corroborates something that the Malbim mentions. Radak mentions it, but says, not true, that there were manuscripts found where the first word, nastem, remember there are three nastems in the pasuk, the first one didn't say nastem, but said nechtam, like sealed, put together. It's that funny writing. There's funny writing, and some of it, it's very funny writing, because if you really want to see funny writing, then go to Safaria on your computer or on your phone, and Safaria, when it writes this Malbim out, puts Greek letters in the middle. Because absolutely, that's what I was doing on this very long bus ride I took last night. We went to a chatunah up in Pardes Chana, and it was like 4.5-5 hours of travel, back and forth. And so I was looking at the Malbim on this pasuk. And he puts it with Greek letters in between, because what the Minchat Shai was trying to do was make sure that a scholar would be able to read it the way he's trying to say it appeared in ancient manuscripts. So it's very, very interesting that Nechtam, it was sealed. In other words, the first one, not there's three Nastams. So now let's go back. V'nastem v'nechtam gei harai, and the valleys are going to be sealed. In other words, all the valleys that were around Yerushalayim, think of what we have. We have Gei Ben Hinnom, and we have Nachal Kidron. We have valleys all around Yerushalayim. Those are going to be closed. Because if the mountains are moving, then where are you going to have room? What's going to happen to those valleys? They're going to move out and cover those valleys. And that's going to really terrify people, because the earth is moving. The shape of the earth in the area of Yerushalayim is changing. And they're going to flee. They're going to run away the way they ran away another time that there was a great earthquake. And that was in the time of Uzziyahu. We'll get to that. However, at this time, it's going to be different. Because in the time of Uzziyahu, there was great anger that was causing the earthquake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Am Yisrael. Yeah, we will talk about it. I'll let you tell. And at this time, he's saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be angry. Hashem, the God, with all his kedoshim, he's going to come with all his holy ones, with the angels again, with his heavenly entourage. He's coming because he's saving Yerushalayim at this point. He does not want to destroy them. Okay, my friends, time to go into the Mefarshim. So we have Venastem Venechtam, maybe. And we have the other two Nastems that are Nastem in all of the manuscripts. So we have Malbim. He starts, Yesh Nuschaot Shekatuv Bahem, and it's written V'nistem, but really in the original, the Minchat Shai, was V'nechtam. It was sealed, right? Rod Solomar, Ki Hagai Shebe'emtza Hahar, Sheyipatach im hatchum shemisham yatsa harash agadol hu hamafare karim. In other words, what he wants to say is that this valley that it's in the middle of the mountain that was opened in the depths because of this earthquake that comes. Hayamafare Karim was really, it was scary. Mefare Karim is like it's blasting mountains. It seemed to the onlooker that there was an earthquake that was just destroying the world. It was like breaking everything apart. Yistom Tekef V'yesham Bik'a. It's going to close up right away, and it's going to become like, if somebody could tell me the difference between an emek and a bik'a. No, here it doesn't say emek, it says gay. A gay and a bik'a, I'm not quite sure. I used to think that a bik'a is a plateau, more of a plateau. In other words, it is a flat area, but it's on top of heights. So there's going to be a big, whatever the difference is, and in my simple little dictionary, it didn't make a difference. Ulenusach shekatuv venistam ratzolomar shekulam yon venastem. Excuse me. If we say that it's venastem, kulam yanusu el hagai shebein shnei haharim sheyit pardu ata. We're talking about you're going to flee to that valley that is formed by the earthquake. Ki b'makom shekvar niftecha haaretz ein od sakanat hara'ash. If you're in a place that's already been open, there's less danger of the earthquake doing more damage. Kamo b'makom shelo niftecha haaretz adayin. Like there isn't a place where the earth did not open yet. I do not know, my dear friends, if that is scientifically correct. Because, thank God, I have never lived through an earthquake. We did have a couple of rattles.
Yeah.
We had a couple of rattles, but nothing that really split open anything. And I don't know, but what the Malbim is saying is twofold. Let me go back, because they didn't do it right. I didn't do it well enough. He's saying, according to the first Beyur, if we say that it really says v'nechtam, that it's sealed, then what it's telling us is as soon as the earthquake starts, the mountains will split open, but immediately the area will be sealed off and form something called a bik'ah, which people will run to because it's so fearful and scary to have the earth splitting all around you. According to the Nusach that says that this is another venastem, he's saying the first nastem is you will run to that guy, you will run to that big valley that's formed by the earthquake because there's less chance of more danger in the place that's already been split by the earthquake than there is in other places that have not yet been affected. And as I said, I'm not saying anything scientific now. We're just looking at what the way Malbim is seeing these psukim. So the idea that we can gain from this without worrying about which nusach is, in plain simple English, you will be terrified. It's going to be a terrifying scene. Here, you will have just been saved from the enemy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fight the enemy. They are going to be gone. And at that time, when you think you can relax, forget it. You're not going to relax because there are going to be cataclysmic, cosmic events that will start with the earth splitting, like a big earthquake, and the mountains moving apart, and either it will immediately be sealed in place, the way they moved apart, that's the nechtam, right? Sealed. Or venastem, you will run away and try to get to a place that's safe. Now, what about Uzziyahu? Ooh, we have to finish the pasuk. What about Uzziyahu? What happened at the time of Uzziyahu with the Ra'ash? At the time that Yeshayahu's inauguration scene, Yeshayahu Hanavi is standing in the Beit HaMikdash, Perek Vav in Yeshayahu, that starts Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uzziyahu Vo'eret Hashem. It was not the death of the king Uzziyahu, he became Metzora. And a Metzora is Chashuv Kemet, right? This is what Rashi tells us. So Yeshayahu says, Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uzziyahu V'Areat Hashem, Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa, remember? Sitting on a high and mighty throne, he's sitting up there in heaven, Vishulav, and the edge of his garments, Meleim Et HaHechal, are filling the earthly Hechal. In other words, I see that Hashem is up in heaven, but he's totally involved in what is going on. And the question is, what is going on in the Beit HaMikdash? And the scene is described in Divrei HaYamim. It is not described in Melachim. It is barely, Uzziyahu is not spoken about a lot in Melachim. In Divrei HaYamim, we learn a lot about Uzziyahu. Uzziyahu, you know, Vayiven Uzziyahu Migdalim Birushalayim, right? Vayichaskeim, all that, he was a strong, he was a very successful king, Uzziyahu. He reigned for over 50 years. He brought a time of wealth and peace to Yerushalayim. And you know what happened? It affected him. He became very arrogant. And he figured, you know what? I am the king, and I want to also serve as the Kohen Gadol. And so he decided that he was going to bring Ketoret. He was going to bring Ketoret on the Mizbeach. And he came in to the Beit HaMikdash, and it must have been a Chag. I think it was Rosh Hashanah. I can't remember now. I didn't check. Or Yom Kippur. It could, yes, with the Ketoret. The Kohen Gadol brings the Ketoret to bring it into Kodesh Kodeshim. And he came with his entourage, and he actually took a machta, he took the fire pan, and the Kohanim lined up. It's very beautifully described in Divrei HaYamim. The Kohanim lined up and said, Lo lecha Uzziyahu. This is not for you, Uzziyahu. Lo lecha mishpat ha-kohuna. The laws of the Kohen are not for you. You are not the Kohen Gadol. You are from Beit David. You are the king. Do not do this. And he pushed them aside, and he took the fire pan, and he threw the coals on the fire pan, and he broke out in Tzarat. Tzarat parcha b'mitzcho, the Navi says, the Divrei HaYamim. And they had to pull him out of the Beit HaMikdash. Sarat is Metame, right? And they had to pull him out of the Beit HaMikdash. And that says, Vayanu'u, they're back to the Yeshayahu, Vayanu'u amot ha-sipim mikol ha-korei. The pillars of the Beit HaMikdash started swaying. Vahabayit yimalei ashan. And the house was filled with smoke. Bayit, the Beit HaMikdash. And Chazal say, A, the smoke of the fire pan that Uzziyahu threw the hot coals onto the spices, but B, there was a tremendous earthquake that took place at that time. And at that time, if you remember, Yeshayahu hears a voice saying, Et mi eshlach umi eleich lanu. I need a Navi. I need a Navi to send, to talk to the people, to tell them that this can't get on. And Yeshayahu is the only Navi that says, Hineni, here I am, Shlacheni. I'll be the Navi. And at that time there is, was, according to Divrei HaYamim, and then there is a reference in Amos. Amos talks about Shnatayim Lifnei HaRa'ash, Ra'ash, that there was a great earthquake. Just let me finish the line. That earthquake was anger, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was distancing himself from Am Yisrael. Here, on the contrary, what the Navi is saying, it's going to be a Ra'ash, as frightening as the time of Uzziyahu. But Hashem will not distance himself. Hashem will be in your midst. He will come into Yerushalayim with all of his entourage. So on Sukkot, Bezrat Hashem, when you hear the kriya of this Haftorah, at least you'll feel familiar with the beginning. And if you are mitpaleh on the rest of it, I will be very happy to hear it, because it's amazing. And you will see at the end the reference to Chag HaSukkot, which will make you understand very clearly why that was chosen as the Haftarah for Chag HaSukkot. So, A, Chatima Tova to everybody, and B, Chag Sameach.